We believe that our customers who come to us to have a conversation with us as a solution, but also when they need to have a conversation with a human being, to have a conversation with a tax expert, with an accounting expert, with an entity formation expert, with anyone that they can look in the eye or have a real conversation that is human to human. We think that the AI will allow us to scale that, but also provide people who want answer anytime.
Welcome to the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, powered by Gusto. On this show, we explore the intersection of fintech, vertical SaaS, and how software combats the rising complexity of running a business. Our goal is to share stories, advice, and best practices from the leaders and investors behind today's cutting-edge platforms. This episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast is brought to you by Gusto Embedded. Gusto has spent a decade building and testing its payroll, tax filing, and compliance infrastructure, which is available as a robust set of APIs so you can develop custom-tailored payroll solutions. For more information, go to embedded.gusto.com. Here's your host, Brian Bush.
On this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, my guests are Shahar Plinner and Uri Bar-Joseph, the co-founders of Formations, an AI-empowered financial platform to help businesses of one make smarter financial decisions. Shahar and Uri, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you, Brian.
I'm excited today, and it's an exciting day in the sense that you all have a new product launching, which I can't wait to get to. But first, please, for the sake of the audience, would you both please give a little bit your background and, importantly, how you met and how you decided to launch Formations?
Uri, you go first.
Let's start with that. We met at Costco about 20 years ago. So that was an interesting meeting. Both Shahar and I moved to the Seattle greater area from Israel for different reasons. And my wife and I were walking at Costco and met actually Shahar's wife. And then we met again through mutual friends and we became family friends. And we've been longtime friends before we became business partners. But Shahar had a private tax and accounting firm in the greater Seattle area, and Formations is his brainchild. So I'm going to let him tell the story of Formations.
But I don't know if Uri is aware, but I was always hunting Uri to come and work with me. So we're just waiting for the right opportunity. But again, we knew each other from, I think, 2006. And my real estate agent, which is a good family friend of Uri, introduced us over a soccer game. So both Uri and I are huge sports fan, and sport has always been something that creates great connections. So we went to see, I think, the Israel national team or something playing for the qualifying of the World Cup. Of course, they lost, but it didn't change the fact that Uri and I had an immediate connection back then. No kids for Uri and Karen and Ortal and I. So it was pure the single dates, getting out, crazy Seattle nights. But I was always admiring, Uri come from a very different background, and I was always admiring his tech exposure and being a marketing guru. And when Uri and I met to speak about Formations, it was actually on the beach in Haifa. He was back in Tel Aviv, in Israel. We came just for a visit, and I told him, hey, I think there is something there. What happened if we'll put the marketing guru-ness of you, the SaaS approach for business with the old-fashioned tax industry? Coming from a strong domain in tax and accounting and started my own practice back in 2009. And back then I tried to be very innovative, but there is so much innovation that you can bring into the service industry. And I was super passionate to solve what we call the self-employment problem. So I came to Uri and said, hey, there is a huge problem that I feel, think, believe, know that I have the solution for, but I need your help to build that magnitude go-to-market motion on a very old-fashioned industry. And I think something magical will happen. And it was pretty easy to convince him. And a couple of months later, Formations was, I think, November of 2019. It's where we made the decision that, we are off to the races and we launch off March of 2020. So Formations is the COVID baby.
An auspicious month, huh? To be fair, that's an incredible story. Shahar, deep subject matter expertise, Uri, some of the tech background, bringing that together. So I want to talk, just double click into why the self-employed market, Shahar. What was it? What's happening with that market, especially in 2019 or early 2020? What was it about that market that you said, I think there's a there, I want to dig in and create a solution for this market specifically?
So I joined the tax and accounting industry about 20 years ago in 2005. And I'm not an accountant, I'm not a CPA, I'm a disruptor, I'm a tax guru, I'm an expert, I just see taxation. I'm one of those weirdos that see taxes and actually enjoy it. I'm laughing with my team that my guilty pleasure is to review a tax return because it's almost like a puzzle. It's a Rubik's Cube. Once the tax return is done, you can hear the click, tick, when the puzzle is completed. So I got super passionate about building those efficient structure. And the idea was that if you actually addressing taxes with a purpose, intentionally, you can increase significantly your take-home money. But on the other hand, taxes, the journey doesn't need to be daunting. There's so much FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt around taxes. There's so much FOMO, the fear of missing out. There's always those feelings of shame. And I want to bring a different experience. What happens if we bring the rainbow into the industry? How can we make the experience fun, engaging, where people basically understand and feel that taxes is not just a cost. It actually can be a profit center that if you think about it, again, as I mentioned, can increase your well-being. And as I continue my journey since 2009, around 2016, I think it's when QBO become a commodity, the QuickBooks Online, banking as a service, API, fintech become a thing. And we saw that once we take all of those amazing over-the-shelf kind of tools, and we combine it as an orchestration layer, and we meet the self-employed, which in my belief, it's the most underserved and overlooked segment of the workforce, why they're probably the largest. So once you combine all of these tools, something really magical happens. You can introduce really efficient concepts to the self-employed. And since self-employed is a segment that doesn't have usually the resources to consume knowledge from CPA, CFO, attorneys, accountants, building something more easy to use with an experience that will show them the impact, because the impact is really something that's important in the world of self-employed. The segment that doesn't like to delay gratification, the cookie monsters of the world. Once you show them that there are tools or there is a system that can keep more of their hard-earned money in their pocket, boom, they are engaged.
I know much of our audience who either thinks about serving small, medium businesses or has been there themselves can recognize that challenge of a nuanced, complicated area where that generates a lot of uncertainty, but also the lack of resources to dig in and solve it. So Uri, how would you describe Formations as a platform? How do you talk about what you actually offer to the self-employed?
Yeah, when we started Formations, little did we know that there's going to be an explosion of this segment because of COVID. Well, actually, when we set the launch date for March 2020, it was all of a sudden started in the epicenter at the time was a few blocks away from our office in Kirkland, Washington. We really debated whether or not we should delay things, debated and talked to a lot of people, and we eventually decided to just keep pressing forward and pushing. And we didn't realize that actually, in many ways, it will be an accelerator for the segment. People staying at home, thinking again about their employment and looking for ways to go on their own and have continue to have that flexibility. And even when COVID ended, are we allowed to say that COVID ended? Even when COVID ended, people got used to that flexibility. And now they said, you know what? I don't want to go back to the office. I want to maintain my flexibility. So this explosion of the segment and the innovation around enabling that segment to work anywhere, to do what they love to do and pursue their passion has been a tremendous accelerator for the segment. And we consider Formations a utility for that segment. We're not building a do-it-yourself tool. We're not building a platform that can help you do these things better and faster. We all heartily believe that the segment, they just don't want to do it. We didn't run the survey, but I would stand 100% behind the fake results of this research. 100% of self-employed, when asked if you want to do their accounting, they would say, hell no. I do not want to do my accounting. I do not want to do my taxes. I want that to be done. And that's the approach that we're taking on one hand. On the other hand, it does require participation. So finding that balance between automating certain activities, doing the work for the self-employed individual, for the business owner, but at the same time, engaging them throughout the year in activities that require their participation. Providing information to the platform, answering certain questions, and making some decisions about their financials is a balance that we always try to strike. And we believe that over time, we're finding more and more of that balance that create an engaging experience for our customers. I think AI now has the potential of actually taking that experience and making it even more, not just engaging, but also delightful. Having a conversation online with a AI assistant and telling the AI assistant to go and do things for you could be very exciting. And that's the direction that we want to take formations.
I've heard you both say striking that balance between sort of a hands-off experience where you can, say, Shahar, leverage your expertise around taxes to help automate some of this for folks, and Ori, sort of that balance between how do you think about engaging the audience appropriately? So Shahar, I'm curious, are there a couple of examples where this comes up in the platform? Maybe around, you mentioned, hey, the rise of embedded fintech, you can now combine some of these features and products, but I'm curious, what's a concrete example of how this shows up for a business of one in Formations platform?
I think it's the combination of understanding that, one, there are some tasks that are commoditized and their impact on their business is very little, but you actually need to do them. Like bookkeeping, for instance. Bookkeeping is a tool. If I could basically predict your tax liability or how much you owe the IRS without doing the bookkeeping, probably, as Ori mentioned, 100% of people probably would skip the task of expense classification and the gamification of how do I create my own kind of chart of account or how do I feel comfortable with the numbers that I'm presenting. So I think for us, this was one task, how we can make those activities like payroll setting or expense classification or entity creation, some of the tasks that, you know, it's a one-time decision. Some of the task is just maybe an ongoing decision, but very automated and very the same. How do we make it a non-issue? How do we take that part significantly from the time that either the team, our team, is spending, or how do we can make it frictionless for the user to help us understand some of those expense items? Because again, when you write a check to one of your coaches, or when you pay for staging, or you do in real estate some activities that we cannot identify, we definitely need the interaction. And I think the second part is that once you need the participation of the user, it's mainly around the why we're asking those questions, why we ask you to do stuff. And if the why resonate with, again, with an impact, which means help me to reclassifying a couple of unknown transactions, and then it will result in $3,000 of additional tax savings. Again, this is an action that move customer to participate. I think it's really important, again, at the end of the day, as the business owner, while you want to delegate, you're the boss. You're the one that sit on the driving seat. And we try to create a Tesla experience, sit on the driving seat. We can definitely put the navigation. We'll take you places. But if you need to make a stop, I don't know, if you need to pee, take an exit and just take the responsibility or the kind of accountability on some of your actions. And the last, as Ori mentioned, is the understanding that there is some tasks that you cannot automate. There are some things that you cannot actually commoditize. And this is the SME, the value add. And what Formations philosophy is that, yeah, we can automate 90, 95% of the journey. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that there is an add value if you need to speak to someone. And the last mile is delivered by a talented team of people that can help to solve the snowflake. I'm different than my colleagues, although I can guarantee you that 90% of self-employed financials, regardless to your industry, looks the same.
Yeah, it's interesting because we are also right after the first deadline of the business returns, or what's called in the industry 1120S for S-Corps. And we just completed more returns than we've ever before with the least amount of effort on both our team on the back end as well as our customers. It was the most, I would say, frictionless tax season that we've had in Formations 5 years. And a lot of it is due to some of the concept that we've implemented, but also the platform making it so easy for customers to say, yes, this is right, or hey, here are three more things that I want to include here, and making it as smooth and easy for them to complete. From day one, Shahar had this idea of let's cancel tax season. I don't know if we can cancel tax season. We don't have that power yet, but we can definitely make it a non-event. And that's really what we're trying to bring to our customers, that it's just one more thing in the annual journey for you as a business, something for you to complete.
My goodness, I wish you would cancel tax season, at least for me. But more, Shahar, I love that analogy of the Google Maps assistant directing you to your destination. Only in this case, that destination is a smarter destination. It's greater tax savings, better, more advantageous, taking advantage of the tax laws for folks who don't usually have that. You also mentioned some of the one-time things like incorporation. I'm going to assume, and please correct me if this is wrong, that you've used a number of partners for some of these specific things, whether it's a one-time or whether it's ongoing. So as you've cobbled together what is now the platform that is the front end of Formations, where have you or how have you thought about build versus buy versus partner dynamics, especially with some of the embedded fintech features? And specifically in your minds, what makes a really good embedded partner versus where have you seen partners fall a little bit short?
So I'll give you kind of the more strategic, but again, Uri is our head of product, the one that runs basically all of those decisions. I can definitely dive a little bit deep, but I think that what was the ideal scenario for us is that we don't want to write code for products that already can integrate into our solution and our focus on a specific solution that we don't need to build, but we can embed into the entire Formations experience. For instance, again, there are better solutions than Formations for incorporation. So we picked a provider that allow us to incorporate fast. But what we build on top of that, it's a recommendation engine of what type of incorporation a self-employed need. Because if you go to the usual suspects, you need to come with the knowledge of, hey, should I be an LLC in the state of Washington as a psychiatrist or as a real estate agent? Or should I be a PA in the state of Florida? How do I know that I'm actually picking the right entity structure that will also enable me to get into the S corporation or into the most efficient tax structure? So we knew that we need to adjust the experience of how those self-employed using, for instance, Inkfile or MyCorp, by building an experience that bring an awareness and recommendation about the actually entity structure, so you don't need to think about it. Same for payroll. When we decided from day one to go with Gusto, it was easy to embed Gusto with our solution, but we build a recommendation engine around reasonable compensation and what would be the compensation that someone need to take as a floor, reasonable, that below that, potentially IRS won't like it. But if you want to go above and beyond, you can always pay yourself more if you need it for lending, banking, retirement purposes. Same for bookkeeping. We didn't want to write an accounting software, but embedded either Xero or Hurdler within our solution. But again, on top of that, there was an orchestration layer of code that we have our own unique chart of accounts and we have our own unique balance sheet and we have our own unique how do we recognize income and expenses. And again, in every aspect of our solution, we made a clear decision if you want to buy, rent, lease, build, which so far made a lot of sense for us and saved us both money and time.
And it reminds me, you mentioned a couple of times, whether it's the bookkeeping, payroll, these are commoditized activities. But what I'm hearing you say is when you tie them together and put this recommendation or this orchestration layer on top, like that's where the power really comes. And this comes back to the exciting feature launch, where you mentioned, or before we hit record, you were talking about you have some new exciting functionality coming online soon that kind of relates to what you can do with that data or that recommendation engine. So tell us a little bit more about Max and your work with AI.
Yeah, first of all, AI is a super exciting field for everyone. Shahar and I were just talking about it the other day, that anyone who tells you that they're an expert in AI, they're probably lying because there are no experts right now. Everyone is learning this field together. So we're all exploring. It's exciting because it is cutting edge. It's exciting because it is new. It's exciting also because of the potential of what it can bring to the table in terms of value to customers is unparalleled. This is our first consumer-facing foray into this world. Max is a tax and accounting assistant. You can ask it anything about tax and accounting for businesses, one. And there are two interesting approaches that we took with Max that are different than what's out there in terms of the cheap ChatGPT-like solutions. One, it's based on our playbook, which is what we believe is our core competency. Going back to the question about build, buy, rent decisions, the core of those decisions strategically is we're going to build things that are within our core competency. And we believe that our core competency is our playbook and the position that we take on your tax and accounting. So Max is a continuous development of how we bring our playbook to our customers in a way that is easy for them to interact with and consume. So go and ask Max a question about marketing. It will politely go back and tell you, I can't actually answer that. Go and ask it a question about complicated accounting gap, general accepted accounting practices for C Corp. It might give you an answer, but it will tell you, go and consult with an expert, which is not me. But ask it a question about tax and accounting for businesses of one, and we'll give you the most detailed answer about your business, because it's based on our playbook, proprietary playbook that Shahar has developed over the last 15 years. So that's the first thing that is interesting about this approach that we're taking with AI. The second thing is, and that's a little twist in the approach, it will ask you questions. Most solutions out there for AI, you ask them questions, they're bidirectional. Oh, I'm sorry, they're one directional. You ask a question, it gives you an answer, but then you ask another question. I highly recommend trying out Max, because Max is a conversational AI. It asks you questions once you start the engagement, and there's an actual conversation that you could have with Max about your business, which is, we think, is super unique. And again, that's based on what we believe our core competency is, which is understanding your business deeply and then giving you advice based on the position that we are willing to take for your business in terms of its tax and accounting strategy.
Just want to add something about asking questions. That the idea about, I think, asking questions coming from the fact that for many people, money and taxes, specifically, it's a foreign language. People don't feel comfortable around money. People carrying a lot of shame and regret and some relationship with money. And when you add on top of that kind of the tax, it sometimes, or many times, actually have people lean back and being afraid of, how should I ask it? So the idea about asking questions is about, how do we can give you a conversation starter? How we can give you some ideas that will enlighten or basically inspire or ignite some things that, I'm struggling with understanding if you should lease or buy a car, or what is depreciation, or what is a legit business expense, or how can I pay my kids? Or I heard that there is like a retirement plan, but I'm not sure what's the name of the retirement plan. So just giving people a conversational starter, we see that people, once you get into this, you know, game, they're actually super engaged and they love the discussion about, because always someone, hey, I just have a question about taxes. People are always curious about that topic. So to provide them kind of something more inviting to participate was the idea kind of the conversation method.
Is Max and the AI work just available to Formation's customers or members today? Or is it available to the general public? And the reason I'm asking is, I think anybody who's working with small, medium businesses knows that your acquisition cost is always a concern. These are generally smaller ACV types of businesses. And so we need to think about the unit economics pretty diligently. And so I'm curious for you, how this fits pre-sales versus post-sales, how you think about driving both awareness and value amongst businesses of ones.
So Max is available to the public. That was the intent of Max, is not to keep it gated for customers only. The underlying technology and playbook that we expose to our customers is slightly different, and it also allows customers to tap into their own data, where Max does not have that capability because it's publicly available. So your data is protected. It's not being shared with anyone. What you're getting from Max is access to our proprietary playbook. If you become a customer, then we can start exposing capabilities, AI capabilities that are also based on your data and your information, but then it's more secure, it's more gated, it's only for you and about your data and about your information. Again, Max is publicly available to anyone who wants to engage. It's max.formationscorp.com. I think the question about acquisition cost is an interesting one for any business. It's early days for us with Max. We'll know later. We're happy to share more information in the future. But Formations has grown organically throughout the most of our time. We are a tech-enabled service. We're not a pure SaaS product, do-it-yourself. We believe that our customers who come to us to have a conversation with us as a solution, but also when they need to have a conversation with a human being, to have a conversation with a tax expert, with an accounting expert, with an entity formation expert, with anyone that they can look in the eye or have a real conversation that is human to human, we think that the AI, that's our thesis, that the AI will allow us to scale that, but also provide people who want answer anytime. It's Saturday night or midnight on a Saturday and I'm thinking about my business and I need to answer, I can go to Formations and still get an answer. If that answer doesn't satisfy me, I can schedule a meeting for Monday morning to talk to a real person and then have a more in-depth strategic conversation about those questions. The combination of human and technology is what's exciting to us about this field and about how we think about serving our customers.
Well, and I appreciate that perspective is a little contrarian to, there's so much hype around AI right now, but to your point, so much of it is do it yourself, is unidirectional. It's not a conversation. It's not as bidirectional. And I think that just reiterates several themes you mentioned throughout the conversation about your product philosophy and what you want, how you want Formations as a platform to be able to engage your customers. So before we wrap up, I'm curious if there's any other contrarian advice. And maybe I'll phrase the question as, I'm sure you talk to many other early stage founders who have ambitions and ideas. What are some of the lessons you learned? Let's say somebody was looking to start something similarly in the financial management space. What are lessons? What advice would you have for those co-founders going forward?
I think for me is the find something that can make money from day one. I think the whole approach that I see many of my friends kind of identifying a problem, maybe it's not their core kind of expertise, but they are excited enough kind of to dive into a new industry and then identify a problem and then start developing a product and test it if there is a market fit. I think, again, require a lot of resources that today in the world of, you know, venture or raising money, there is little to no resources. Again, there's maybe more resources in the pre-stage or stage if you know how to sell the dream. But from a founder perspective, again, what Uri and I did, we knew there was a problem. We knew that we have a solution, the answer. Let's see if customers are willing to pay for the solution from day one. So Formations, again, first year 2020 that we went out of stealth, we had 150 paying customers. It was enough evidence for us bringing, I don't know, $500,000 in ARR the first year, that there is something there and we identify the areas where we should fuel kind of the party that can help us to enable the growth. So I think going maybe a different direction of identifying the problem, find out the solution and or incorporate some way of solution, fake it until you make it, but then be in front of customers, don't be afraid, even if it's not a complete solution, and test it with real customer asking for their feedback end to end, and then have them pay for the solution full price from day one. I think it's my number one advice for someone going out of stealth, trying to grow a startup in 2024.
I love it. Uri, I'm curious what advice you would have and any advice, particularly on thinking the co-founder dynamic, making decisions, handling conflicts as you start a new entity.
So those are two. So let me start with the advice. I read this a few weeks ago, I think, and I agree with Shahar about find something that there's a problem that you can solve, make sure that people are willing to pay for it. Those are all important things. Start making money from day one. It's also critical. There's a lot of conversation in the marketplace, especially right now, about run rate. I read this interesting post about someone talking about the founder's run rate. And I think that's an important concept. Your own run rate is as important as the financial run rate of your business. If you are going, if you're starting a startup, my rule of thumb is plan for 7 to 10 years. That's how you need about this. This is going to be a 7 to 10 year journey, and make sure that you're ready for that 7 to 10 year journey. It's not, no one's going to buy you after 2 years. It's not going to end after 3 years. You're going to go the ups and downs, but be prepared for that time frame. And I think having that mindset and thinking about your own run rate, and a lot can happen personally in that time, and be ready for that journey, I think is important. It also relates to the co-founder dynamic. Ara and I were friends before we started Formations together. We're very different people. This is you're getting married. You're getting married without some of the benefits of being married, or maybe the benefits of some of the benefits of being married. You really are, your founder, your co-founder is that relationship is critical. If you don't know the person, and I've seen people shop for a co-founder, spend a lot of time with that person before you decide to go into business. And most importantly, spend time arguing, spend time fighting, spend time in critical moments. And if you don't have the opportunity to do that, manufacture crises before you start to see how the two of you handle it. Shahar and I went through some really exciting and happy times, and we went through some really hard times. And we had to lean on each other in both, by the way, not just the bad times, also the good times. You want to know that you can celebrate together the right way. You want to know that you could lean on each other when the hard time comes. Spend a lot of time thinking through that and testing those moments, because if you are in it for the long haul, if you are in it for the 7 to 10 years, you want to make sure that you're the right partner. Besides, I could not ask for a better partner than Shahar in this journey, and hopefully in future journeys as well. I think that's something to really think through and consider before you completely go all in.
Again, another piece of contrarian advice, maybe even manufacture some challenging situations as you pressure test your co-founder relationship. Thank you both so much. It's a pleasure to have, and both of you took time out of your very busy days to share some of your insights and wisdom. So thank you so much. Before we wrap up, could you tell listeners, if they want to go deeper, if they have any questions, how they could connect with you, perhaps on social media?
I'm just Uribar Joseph is my URL. So LinkedIn/AN/UribarJoseph, my full name. I used to be on Twitter and X, but no longer. So LinkedIn, or my email, uri@formationscorp.com. You're welcome to reach out. And in my signature is also my cell phone. So I'm also happy to take calls. Shahar?
Yeah, same for me. Shahar Pliner on LinkedIn, formationscorp.com, our website. I have a tendency, I'm accepting all requests on LinkedIn, and I'm responding to all questions and asks, as long as it's not a solicitation for some sales. But if generally you need an advice, tax advice, again, so many times Uri and I went to vendors, raising money, sitting with a VC, having an exciting discussion about formations, and then it's no, it's too early, we'll sit on the sideline. But can I ask you a tax question?
Sure.
Why not? Everybody has a tax question. So again,
10 times out of 10, it always ends with, can I ask you a tax question?
I promised to save mine until after we were done recording. So
if you want to ask me a tax question or two, basically, I also have myself. If you want to reach out on WhatsApp or, you know, text me or just email, or here to help the entrepreneur, self-employed community about our journey, about taxes in general, you know, we are here to help.
And try Max, max.formationscorp.com. And you know what? I have now have an idea. We'll add our information to Max, so you'll be able to ask Max how to reach out to us.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, thank you both so much again. Really appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast. We'll make sure to link to any resources that were mentioned in today's show in the show notes. Please also feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, or to connect with the Gusto Embedded team via LinkedIn. In particular, we'd love to hear any future guests you'd like us to have on the show. Thanks again for listening, and keep a lookout for the next episode.